Good morning. We learned last week, we began the sugya of Nekach Toyos. And as we learned, if a person buys an item and he finds that there is a defect, he has the right to claim Nekach Toyos, he has the right to return the item, and he's entitled to a full refund. Now, as we discussed, the halacha is, it's a double or nothing proposition. The buyer's right is to say, I did not get the goods that I bargained for. You didn't do your half of the deal, and therefore, I'm being chayzer, take the item back, and I'm entitled to a full refund. What he does not have the right to do is he cannot say, listen, I like the goods, I'm happy with it, I have it already, I want a $50 credit because of the defect. He has no right to do that. He can return the item for a full refund, or he can just be moichel and accept it as is. He cannot insist on a credit. And the same thing is generally true for the seller. If the item is defective, the seller cannot tell the buyer, listen, it's scratched, it's this, it's that, I'll knock a few dollars off the price. The halacha is, if it is a mum, if it rises to the level of a defect, that people generally are chayzer, that's what we discussed last week, the seller has to take the item back and is obligated to give a full refund. Now this leads us, there was an infamous din Torah about 10 years ago. A gentleman bought a house in Lakewood, and the way he bought the house was he bought it on paper, it was speculation. He signed a contract, and the developer built up a whole development of whatever it was, 56 townhouses. As it was being built, the buyer obviously put in money, he put in upgrades. And spent a tremendous amount of time and effort making sure that the carpets and everything was perfect. The house is ready. He closed. The builder actually did not let him do a home inspection before the closing. Anyway, he moves into the house, and he starts noticing that the construction was very shoddy. There were all sorts of issues with the house. He was very upset. He called the builder, developer. No response, then no one's home, they're not talking to him, he's not interested in fixing anything. So finally he calls into a din Torah. He shows up at the din Torah, and the buyer did his homework. He put together this whole file. He took pictures of every defect, of every blemish. He wanted to make sure the developer could not deny anything. And he came to Bezdin and made a whole presentation about 50 things that are wrong, this wrong, that wrong. Pictures, the works. When he finished his tirade, the builder gets up and says, Rabbi Yisai, I want to admit, every word that he said is true. The house is not built correctly. There are many issues with the house. And therefore, itzake is a mekach tois. If he wants his money back, he pulls out his checkbook, I will pay you cash today. But you should know, since he bought the house, the market has gone up. And I can sell it tomorrow with all the defects for $75,000 more. So the buyer has a choice. If he wants to claim Mekach Toyos, give me back the house, I'll give him back his money. Otherwise, he should be quiet. I'm not fixing anything. What's the halacha? So it seems the buyer is stuck. Mekach Toyos, the claim is, like we learned last week, you can ein mechashim chas amum. If there is a defect, if there is a mum, you can either return the house or you can keep quiet, you can be moichel. Things are not so simple. Along comes the Tshuvas Arash, and that's what we learned this morning, and it's brought down in the Torah and the Mechaber. And the Rosh dealt with a very similar case. Person bought a house. He bought the house is in another city. He went to contract, he had the closing a few months later. And then it turned out, between the contract and the closing, squatters had moved into the house. They broke a couple of windows, they ruined some doors. They made camp, they were smoking in the house, they ruined some of the walls. And there was a shayla. The buyer said, there's a mum, it's defective, I want out, take the house back, I don't want to purchase anymore. The seller said, it's true the defects were there. I didn't realize it, I didn't know about the goyim, I wasn't there. But what's the big deal? There's a door that needs fixing, a window that needs fixing, I'll give you a credit. You'll fix the house, you'll fix the window, and everything will be wonderful. Zok the Rosh, the seller is going to win. Because although the halacha is, when there's a defect, You cannot force the buyer to take a credit. There, that means when there's a defect, it's scratched, it's dented. The dent is not going anywhere. If the seller wants to say, keep it with the dent and I'll give you a couple of dollars, he has no right to do that. However, in this case, where it's Efshar Lasakna, you can fix the house. Call someone down, call down a handyman, he'll take care of the windows, he'll take care of the doors. There, the Rosh Paskins, if the seller has the right to say that I'm going to fix it, I'm going to correct the problems, and then there would not be... Got there. Excellent. It's like that. Now we have a halacha. The halacha is, if there's a minor defect that can be fixed, the seller has the right to fix it, and there can't be a claim of mechak tois. The rush is clear that this applies only to a minor defect. If you buy a house and there's a structural flaw in the way it's built, now anything can be corrected. You have enough time, enough money, you can fix anything. But if you have to go ahead, you have to knock down a wall and rebuild it, there the rush says clearly, that's panim chadashos. That's a rebuilt house. It's a different house. So even though once it's fixed, it will function perfectly. The house is as good as had it been constructed correctly in the first place. But since this is not a minor repair, you have to completely rebuild part of the house, there this halacha will not apply. And here, the buyer is entitled to a refund and to return the item. Now, the exact definition of what's a minor repair and what's a major repair is not so clear in the Paiskim. We recently had it in Torah. A person bought a car and there was an issue with a catalytic converter. Is that a major repair or is that a minor repair? So the Rosh's guideline, or really from the Rimagash, seems to be that if it's panim chadashos, if it's an integral part that it's kilu, it's like a new car, then the buyer can say, listen, this is a different item, I don't want it rebuilt, I'm claiming mekach tois. So if there's a problem with the engine, even though it could be rebuilt, if the seller has to rebuild the engine, that's a real mum, and there the buyer can say, I don't want a rebuilt engine, it's not what I bargained for, and he can return the car. On the other hand, if it's a minor part, which is not, doesn't, no one's going to say the car is a different car because it has a new catalytic converter, it's a relatively minor piece, there it's not panim chadashos, and there if the seller is willing to fix it, willing to offer a refund, he'll have the right to do so. Now, to respond to your question, you pointed out correctly that our story and the Rush are talking about very different cases. The Rush's case, the seller didn't want a mekach tois. He said, I'm willing to fix it, I don't want to give you your money back. And the Rush says you have the right to make that claim. What about in the opposite case? The seller says, I don't want to fix it. I'd rather you claim mekach tois. Now here we have a shaila. What's the pshat in this halacha that a minor defect you can fix? Is this a schus? Is this a right that the seller has? It's a defense. If the seller doesn't want mekach tois, he can fix it, there won't be any claim. If that's the pshat. Then if the seller says nothing doing, I'm not fixing anything, it's a mekach tois. And the buyer will just give back the house and get his money back. On the other hand, many achroinim are meduyik that it's not the pshat. It's a chiyuv. The seller has an obligation, since it's a minor defect that can be fixed, the seller has an obligation to fix it and make the sale whole. And if you follow those achroinim, then the buyer would prevail because he'd be able to, because since these defects were relatively minor, it wasn't any fundamental flaw of the house, they're just minor things that could be fixed. According to these poskim, he'd have the right to force the situation, and he'd be able to force the seller to fix it and not to claim mekach tois. Again, it is a machlekes, I don't know what the Beis Din did over there, it could be there's a kimli, but most achroinim seem to learn you can force the person to sell to fix it. It's not just an option. Now, there's another interesting exception. The Kinyan Torah B'Halacha, Chelek Dalet, Simon Kufnun Aleph, has a case where a young lady bought a watch for her chassan. Bought a fancy gold watch. And then she noticed, as she was about to give it, she noticed that it was losing time. She called up the seller. The seller said, what's the big deal? It's just a minor repair. Give it to your chassan, I'll fix it afterwards. It's a mum defshar l'saknoi. I'm willing to fix it. I'm not giving you your money back. So over here, the Kinyan Torah said he's not so sure. Because it's one thing if you buy yourself a watch. If you buy yourself a watch and it needs a minor repair, that's efshar l'sakrei, and if the seller is willing to do it, you can't ask for your money back. On the other hand, if you bought it for a gift that you have to give and tell the person, here's the gift, and by the way, this is where it came from, go, it needs a little tune-up. Is that a legitimate gift? No. So if even a minor defect that can be fixed, if it's being bought as a gift, the Kenyan Torah suggests that is a fatal flaw, and that would be considered a mekach tois.
What if the seller doesn't know what he bought it for? Why is this problem what your
kavanah? Well, when a young lady, that's the case, I was very careful of the case. The young lady bought a chasen watch. So it's pretty clear, it's not for herself. Again, you know, if there's time, there's time. And as the Bach points out in this entire halacha, you know, let's say you rent a house. Person's, you know, he's moving to a city. By a certain date, he rents a house. Or he buys a house. After the purchase, he finds out there's a tenant in there. And to move to evict him, it will take 6 months. So on one hand, a tenant is efshar l'sakrei. It may take some time and money. You can get rid of him. So it's according to the Rosh, it would not be a claim of mekach tois. But the Bach speaks out, and it's quite reasonable, that if you need the house in a month, the fact that you can evict him in 6 months is not going to help you. There's clearly a pay done. In that case, even though it will eventually get fixed, since it's a time-sensitive matter, you'll be able to claim mekach tois. This halacha is only where I have 3 months anyway. I'm not moving in for 3 months anyway. If there are a couple of defects, you have three. It'll be fixed before I need it. But it's clearly, if I apply it to our halacha, there's a divrei revoice that deals with a similar question. A person bought a house. There was a defect that could have been fixed. It was a minor defect. But before the seller got around to fixing it, there was a gas leak. The house blew up. So what's the halach? So if you look at it, then it's a mekach tois. Really, any defect is a mekach tois. The seller, if it's a minor defect, has a defense. He can fix it, and once he fixes it, there's no claim of mekach tois. Then since he never fixed it, the house blew up. It's the seller's loss. The sale was never a good sale. On the other hand, if you learn the other way, that really the sale is a good sale. And the moicher has an obligation, since it's something which can be fixed, the seller has an obligation to go ahead and fix it. He didn't finish doing his bargain. If that's the case, since the mekach is a good mekach, if now and the seller is willing to fix it, it would be the buyer's loss. And that is how the divrei revois paskens. Whether you can force him to fix?
Whether the sale is a sale or he has a fee to pay.
Most places can seem to learn that you can force him to fix it. I can't tell you every bezin will agree with that, but it's metuyik. There's an ulam mishpat here. There's a mogen avram and a mekar chayim, which we'll get to in a moment. There are many diukim that the halacha is that you can force him to fix. Okay, correct. So let's move on to the next case. Person decides that's it. This year he had enough. Not staying home for Pesach. He doesn't want to go to a hotel. Public. He wants some privacy. So he makes arrangements to rent a unit in Florida. And he makes arrangements for food. The landlord, another high mishia, tells him, don't worry, I'll take care of it. You'll come in. It will be perfectly clean for Pesach. You'll just come in. You'll be ready to go. So kachava. Erev Yontiv, they jet down to Florida. They walk into the unit, and they see there are crumbs all over the unit. Crumbs, Erev Pesach, what are they going to do? They called up the landlord. That's it, we're out, we're not staying here. We'll find ourselves, Erev Yontiv, we can find some good deals in a hotel. We're not interested. It's not clean. The landlord says, what are you talking about? What's the big deal? Not such a big unit. Take out your candle and your feather, do a bedikah, go clean the house. And if you leave, you're going to leave me stuck. I'm not going to find anyone else to rent the unit. What's the halacha? So this shaila is a Gemara Mefureshes. The Gemara in Psachim and Avdalit and Beis says that although you rented it b'cheskas baduk, although you rented it and the seller, the owner, had the responsibility to clean it out for chametz, the halacha is, if it's not cleaned, you do not have, it's not a mekach tois. Because there's a chazaka, the mutav le'inish lev and mitzvah begufei, b'memoinoi. People like doing mitzvahs. Now you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah b'ir chametz. Go clean the house, go check, and get rid of the chametz. So the fact that you have to do a mitzvah is not grounds for mekach tois. And that's the Gemara. Then it's a mekach tois, because you don't have the time. But assuming you have the time, you just had your dreams of relaxing and going swimming on Erev Yontif. Nothing doing. Mitzvahs, the opportunity to do a mitzvah does not create a mekach tois. Frech the Magen Avraham, everyone here should be jumping up, yelling and screaming. How is this consistent with the halacha we just learned? Mekach tois, a mum, is when there's an inherent defect. If there's a minor defect that can be fixed, Zok the Rosh, there's no claim of mekach tois. Now, cleaning for chametz is hard, but it can be done. You can clean the house. So if you can clean the house, then it should be, it's a mum de efshel l'saknoi. So regardless, there should be no din of mekach tois. Who cares, mitzvah, not mitzvah? There should be no discussion whatsoever of mekach tois. So there are a few different terutzim for this question. Magen Avraham says a tremendous chiddush. He says the case was you called up the seller or the landlord and you told him, listen, I'm renting the house. I'm doing this because my wife needs a break. I am not interested in checking for chametz. So make sure I'm renting it on the condition you make sure it is spotless clean. You come down and it's full of crumbs. Zok the Magen Avraham, even though you made it tonight, even though you said specifically I want it to be clean, so in a normal case, in the Rush's case, you buy a house, you say specifically, I'm buying the house, I want it hassle-free. I want it to be completely ready to move in, no problems with doors, no problems with windows. You make that condition, if there's a problem with the door, you're out. Mekach tois. The fact that you can fix it is irrelevant. You said specifically, I'm not going to accept it, even if it can be fixed. But Zok the Magen Avraham, what we see from this Gemara is that even though you said you want it cleaned, you don't want any chametz there, since the only thing that happened by breaching the contract is now you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you can't back out. That's the Gemara's chiddush. There's a chazak. Oh, so like this. The most achrayim argue on this Magen Avraham. And they say, a chazak is a wonderful thing. And every yid has a cheses kashrus, and every yid, you ask a lady, do you want to clean for Pesach? Do you not want to clean for Pesach? So there's a chazak deep down, they want to clean for Pesach. But if you said specifically, I'm doing this because I don't want to clean, most achroinim argue in the Magen Avraham and say you'd have the right to back out. Now, Avraham's position is that a mekach tois it can't create. For a mekach tois, to say this is a mum, this is something which is not acceptable, if it's just a question of doing a mitzvah, we will, in a sense, override what you said. We're going to say we know better, and it will not be a claim of mekach tois. It's a tremendous chiddush, but that's the Magen Avraham's approach. Okay, it's not a different house. It's a house that comes with an obligation to do a bedikah. And since the obligation to do a bedikah is a mitzvah, the Gemara, the way the Magen Avraham learns, says that's not grounds to back out. It is becheskas bod. Okay. Again, it's not a different house. It's not a different house. Don't get, there's a difference. You have to do a bedikah, but it's not a different product. So, again, if all it takes is a little cleaning, it's not a different, the car before it was waxed, and after, it's not a different car. It's in better condition, it's easier, it's nicer, but it's not a different house. The Arsameach has a little bit of a different approach, which also I think someone was Meramez to, and he says, let's say a person buys a jet. He buys the jet, and then afterwards the seller tells him, by the way, the engine has a tendency every once in a while just to stop. But it's easy to fix. Zok d'Ar Sameach, you're going to tell me it's Efshel L'Sakne, it's not a big deal, no one cares about it? If you buy the jet not knowing that there's a problem with the engine, there's a very real possibility you'll crash. So even if it's Efshel L'Sakne, you can't call that something insignificant that people don't care about. People care very much about such a thing. Therefore, Zok d'Ar Sameach, if you rent a house and they tell you chametz free, if your wife didn't notice those crumbs, you would have lived over Pesach in this house with chametz. Someone may have eaten some chametz without noticing it. So because the seller put you at the risk of being over an iser of chametz, you can't just whitewash that and say it's just a minor defect. The very fact that had it not been caught in time, there would have been these kinds of ramifications, that creates a mechach tois. Or Samach actually ends said maybe it could be told by a schirus, not by a mechar. Well, we're not going to go into that, but that's his approach. The Ulam HaMishpat has a very simple and beautiful answer, which is what Shaul was driving at. And that is, let's take a step back. What's this halacha? This halacha is, I buy an item. It has a defect, I have the right to claim mechar tois. If it's a minor defect that can be fixed, and the seller either has the right or the obligation to fix it, then I lose my claim of mechar tois, I'm stuck with the deal. Zog l'ulam HaMishpat. That means, if the seller says, you know what, I'm very sorry, I apologize, I didn't give you what I promised, I'm going to go ahead and fix it, but I don't want you to go back on the deal. He has the right to do so. If the landlord wants to jet down to Florida and do the bedika for you, it's Efshel Asakna. He can fix it. Once he does the bedika, it's in perfect condition. So as long as he gets there before Yontif or before Sheh Shoyes perhaps, wonderful. But the case over here is, the seller is not saying, I'm going to do the bedika. The seller is saying, you can fix it. To force the buyer to fix it, no way. The buyer wanted a house in good condition. If you're not giving him that, you can't force him to do the bedika. On that, the Gemara says, there's a chazaka, people want to do mitzvahs, you can't back out of the deal. So in other words, what the Ulam HaMishpat is saying, this whole discussion is only when the seller is ready to fix the goods. He's ready to take care of it. Then, the buyer loses his right to claim mechatoyis, he loses his right to back out of the deal. But if the seller just says, it's your problem, you take care of it, there the Ulam HaMishpat says, everyone would agree, it's a mechatoyis, and you have the right to back out. Again, except for this case where there's a mitzvah, and we have that chazaka. Good, so that goes back to the Magen Avraham. If you said specifically you don't want to do it, does that hurt the chazaka? That's the Magen Avraham's chiddush. Even the tie doesn't help, and that's the discussion. Now let's move on to another very important halacha, which is when many cases of mechach tois, people get tripped up with this problem. Mechaber and Siv Gimel Paskins, Hamerich l'chaveir karka yever behemo yishar metatlin. Person sells an animal, real estate, a slave, an animal, or any metalatalin. Mechaber covers all of the bases that these halachos apply to any type of goods. V'nimtza b'mekach mum shlo yodah b'hilakach. And you find a defect that the buyer did not know about. Marziroi afilu achar kama shonim. Even if it's years later, you can return the item. You buy a shas, starting daf yomi, starting brachas. And some 6 years later, when you're in the middle of Menachos, you find a couple of pages missing. You call up the seller and you claim mechach tois. It's defective. I was 6 years later. So what? And this is when I found the defect. This is when I have the right to return it. Now this is different. We learned Hilchos Einah that if you overcharge someone, the buyer has a very limited time frame to come back and make a claim. He has to right away go to an assessor, find out the true value, and then come back and ask for a refund. If he doesn't, we say there's mechila. That's by Einah. I know whenever I buy something, I know that the seller is going to try to charge as much as he can. I'm going to try to lower the price. If I care whether the price is fair market value, I have to right away go to an expert and ask him, is this price fair? A defect, I don't expect a defect to be here. And I'm not going to go through every single page in the shas to look. Maybe a page is missing. And therefore, in this case, whenever the defect emerges, whenever I find it, I can claim mechach tois, regardless of how much time passed between the purchase and when you find the defect. Zok the mechaber, v'hu, an important condition, shelo yishtamish b'mekach achar sheyoda b'mum. You cannot use the item once you discover the defect. Avol, yishtamish by achar shero ha'mum, if you find the defect, you're in the middle of the daf yomi shir, you notice page is missing. But you're in the middle of the shir, you continue using the Gemara. So in such a case, like the Mechaber, Hareze Mochal Veino Yochel Lachzo, you cannot claim Mechach Tois. If you find a defect, you have to stop using the item immediately. If you continue using it, you will no longer have the right to claim Mechach Tois. Okay, so in a Let me get back to that. It's a good point.
You wouldn't be able to demand a refund either.
Nothing. It shows mechila. Now, this happens all the time. A person will buy a car, and a few days he's driving it around, he starts noticing some rattles and some shaking, and there's an issue. So if he goes right away and claims mekach tois, he has a good claim. But if he continues, he's busy, he's making a chasson in a couple of days, he's a lot of errands to run, he doesn't have time to go to deal with it now and to go back to the seller, and he continues driving it, according to this mechaber, he's lost his right to claim mekach tois. Okay. Very good. It's like this. What's the pshat in this halacha? So the pshat in this halacha is that what is mekach tois? Mekach tois means that I go back to the seller and say, listen, I agreed to pay you $10,000 for a good car. I gave you the money. You didn't do your end of the deal. You didn't do it. You gave me a lemon. Therefore, the halacha is take your lemon back, give me back the money, and let's move on. Based on that, what does that mean? That means that when I discover a defect, that means that the whole deal was, we now find out, was nothing. It was a toys. It was batel l'mafreya. If that's the case, whose car is it? The moment I discover the defect and I plan on claiming mekach tois, I now know it's the seller's car. Do I have the right to drive the seller's car just because I'm busy? Just because I'm making a chasson in a couple of days? No. So therefore, if I do drive it, I'm using his car. We assume a person has a cheskes kashrus. We assume a person is not intending to be a gazlin, and he must have made a decision. You know what? I'll keep the car, forget about the mum, and that way I can continue driving it because it's mine. And later on, when he comes and tries to get a refund, we say he's trying to be chayzer now. It's too late, and he loses his right to claim mekach tois. Oh, very good. So the Ritva, at least in Hilchos Oinah, says this is only if you just continue using it. You don't bother notifying the seller. And then a week or two later, when you have time, you go to the seller, you bring the car back, and you start negotiating. On the other hand, if you immediately call the seller and notify him, listen, the car that you sold me is a lemon. I'm returning it, but I'm busy for the next few days. So I'm going to use it. I'll see you next week. There the Ritva says, you have the right to claim mekach tois. Now, that doesn't mean you have that what you did was mutter. Once you called him and told him, I'm backing out of the deal, it's also to continue driving it. But if you do continue driving it, we can say you must have been meichel, because you made it very clear. You're asking for your money back. So we say, you're acting as a gazlan, you're going to pay rent, whatever the excuse is. So while it may not be mutter to continue driving it, I'll kopon him, you will not lose your right to claim mekach tois. The guy, there's a bit of an, there's machoikos machin Ephraim and Gali Masechta where this will apply to mum also, where there's only oina. But there is such a svara. Very good, very good. So Michas Yitzchok says that in a case where a person moves into a house and the defects are things that could be, in truth, he doesn't speak it out exactly like this, but if it's something that could be fixed, and it's oimid to be fixed, and especially if you can force him to fix it, this svara won't apply. Because the whole issue is, I wanted to claim mekach tois, I'm a gazlin. If my claim of mekach tois is, go fix this, but I'm keeping the sale, it's still my car. And if it's my car, I have the right to use it. So it's only when there's a major defect, where the recourse in halacha is, take the car back, give me back the money, then my use shows mechila. But if it's a minor defect, I'm going to force you to fix. So I'm at no point was this sale off, and therefore I have every right to continue using it. I would not show mechila.
Why should we say as long as
there's any
possibility of it being treated as a minor defect?
This is
what I want to
do.
Whether he's
right
or not.
Okay. So
especially when you have most of these situations, the seller will pay some money, will adjust the price of the seller. Most times, and even.
So the Galia Masechta uses a similar argument. He says, even in a case where, if you want to know the technical halacha, your right is to void the sale. In a case where the norm is to work out a deal, he says perhaps this won't apply. The Galia Masechta's case happens to have been where he made a macha first, you know, and then he says the svara. But the problem is like this. And the Pesachei Tshuva brings down this question, the Orchas Mishpat. before anyone came in today, before today's year, if you bought something from the store, you bought a car, and there's a defect, how many of you knew that if you continue driving the car after you notice the defect, you're waiving your rights? Show of hands? Okay. Possibly two people. Everyone else here, all of the Choshevu members of the Chabur, assume that there's a defect. I'll return it when I have a chance. But I'm waiving my rights to claim Mekatois because I drove the car a couple of blocks. No one ever heard of such a thing. How, maybe in this case, Bishleima, if the person is a Talmud Chacham, if the person who bought the car has been giving Shiurim on Hilchos Mekatois, and he goes ahead, he finds the defect and he drives it, that must be he was Meichel. Because he knows he has no right to use it if he's not Meichel. But if the person doesn't know that, he's a typical person who never heard of such a halacha, how can we say there's a mechila? The guy's going to look, you stop 10 people in the street, ask them whether driving cars is mechila, they'll look at you as if you're crazy. So where do we see such a mechila? So the Pisrei Tshuva paskins, nothing doing. He says, it's like a loy plug. He says, im kein esatu dvarecha v'shiurim, Whenever there is a halacha, we make a halacha psuka across the board, and we don't start differentiating this person's a Talmud Chacham, this person isn't a Talmud Chacham. Since the halacha is that you have no right to use it once you discover the defect, using it means you no longer have a claim of Mechatois. Okay. Good. Hold on. We'll get that in a minute. So as far as the fact of claiming ignorance, the Pesach Tshuva doesn't go. Does hold is not a taina. The Aruch HaShulchan uses it partially in certain cases, but we'll put that on hold. But there's another case where the Pesach Tshuva says this halacha won't apply, and that is you're driving. You bought a horse. You're driving. You're traveling to another city, and somewhere halfway along the way, you notice it only has three legs, not four legs. It's not that quick. So there, the halacha is, you can claim mekartois. Ah, you kept on traveling? Says you're an oinus. If you're an oinus, there's no proof of mechila. The Michas Yitzchak, based on this halacha, has another case. A person bought a house, he moved into the house. One night he notices there's a defect. So he says, you're stuck. What are you going to do? Wake up your kids, run out of the house, and check into a hotel? He says there's no viable option. It's an oinus. Staying overnight or staying until you settle it does not prove any mechila. Now, in truth, this halacha is this heter, this exception is shver. Because let's switch your case. You're driving the car, left lane on the turnpike, and suddenly the car dies, dead. You pull over, and as you're coasting to a stop, you notice right in front of you someone left his car. Now, you happen to work for Chaverim, so no problem. You pick the lock, you get the engine started, and you say, listen, I'm stuck on the road. I'm an oinus. I'm going to take this person's car, and I'm going to drive it. Are you allowed to do that? Are you an oinus? Very nice, you're an oinus. You're stuck. But it doesn't give you the right to steal someone else's car. Now, the way we're understanding that when I buy a car from someone, and there's a defect, it's not my car. It's someone else's car. So what's the difference between stealing a stranger's car or stealing the seller's car and using it? What? Now it happens to me there's no chiyuv to get it back. Wait a second. You have no chiyuv to get it back to him. If the car draws, you're up in the mountains and the car dies. Al pi halacha, you call the seller and say, listen, the car is dead. It's on some dirt road in South Fallsburg. Go pick it up. Who says you have a chiyuv to give it back?
Maybe.
But maybe not. It's like this. The Pesach Tshuva doesn't explain why oinus works here, and he doesn't explain the gedor of an oinus. Now, okay, you can be mad at the Pesach Tshuva and say you're traveling between cities, you're in a forest, it's a sakan. But the Michas Yitzchok that says this case, even by a house, the Choyer doesn't need a real oinus. He must be following some sort of argument that since the Meicher did it, it's his fault in the first place, and the sellers usually don't care. There must be some sort of svara that in these cases a seller agrees and gives you reshus to use the item. Okay, different. There are different possible svaras. I don't know which one is true. I mean, I will tell you a story. There was one of the Dayanim. It's a little bit of a hardliner. His sister-in-law called him up. She was in a restaurant, and she had just bought a new outfit. And she noticed that there was an odor coming from the outfit. Now, if it's something that you can just fix, you dry cleaners, so it's efshel l'sakna, no problem. But if it's something that can't be fixed, so he told her, you have a problem. Because it's true there's a mum, but if you continue using it, you're not going to be able to claim mekachdais. Now, I think the Minchas Yitzchak would say this qualifies as an oinus. There's no real, you don't really have any viable options. But if you don't, if you're not following that, you're stuck.
Now,
so in this case is much better. Because like this, it's a shalosh l'midas, but in this case it's probably a zenen of a zoloi chasa. Because bishlam, if you have a car and you notice there are noises from the engine. So if you keep on driving, besides the fact there's wear and tear on the car, you're also probably going to completely destroy whatever's left of the engine or transmission. There's clearly a mazik, and therefore you really have to think long and hard, what's the justification to continue driving? On the other hand, if there's a problem with clothing, what's the seller going to do with it? Nothing. Either he's going to send it back to his supplier and get a refund, or they can slice it up and use it as a shmat. There's nothing you can do with clothing that has some smell you can't get rid of. If that's the case, perhaps it's a zanyan of a zelichasa. What? Here, we try to be down the kapskos over here. If there's no. Mm-hmm. Okay, there might be wear and tear, but the truth is, if the fact that someone's living there, there's a milo, you know, that's a sugya of shachrusa dashaisa. But elcham, that perhaps is one of the cheshbonos. But in such cases, where it's a zenem is elichaser, it's easier to be makel with these svaras and say that since there's an umdun and the seller doesn't care, at least it doesn't prove mechila. The Meshav HaLacha in Simon Ches has a very nice svara, and he adds, he starts off with this issue with that people don't know this halacha, so how can we assume a mechila? And he adds another, it's an interesting svara. He says, if the whole argument is based on mechila, he says, that's very good. If there's a relatively minor defect, you have a car, there's something wrong with the battery is shvach. So it might be mekach tois, okay, that's efshel l'sakna, but there are a couple of dents. It might be mekach tois, but if he uses it, we see he's not particular. On the other hand, if the transmission's dead, no one is meichel such a mum. And therefore, it's true we have a problem, because he's using it, and using shows mechila, but the conclusion doesn't make sense either, because people are not meichel such a huge mum. And then he adds, such a big defect, you may even need a new kinyan. Mechila may not be enough. If it's mamish, a different thing, it's such a huge flaw, the first kinyan might be bottle, you need a new kinyan. So it's one thing to say, a meichel a mum, but to say that the person had das to make a new kinyan, there he says he wouldn't do, and therefore in such a case, by a huge defect, there he's mitzarif the different svaras, and he says, you would not lose the right to be chayzer.
The guy is 100% masculine to rent it for a day to get home rather than that. I'm saying maybe it goes.
Okay, it's true. He might be masking to rent it. But the same thing is true when you find that abandoned car on the side of the turnpike. You have no right to take it and say, I'm going to pay rent. No right to do that. If there's a rental car company and there's no one behind the counter, you want to take the keys and you want to take it and pay them. So maybe. It's the schiros, that's one thing. But just stam, for someone to, if you come out, you'll come out of this year later, you'll see your car is gone with a little note. By the P, I took it, I was in a rush, but I'll pay you rent. That's Shalosh HaMidas. He gave you the keys thinking that it's a valid sale and thinking that it was yours. Now that it turns out the sale is not a good sale and it reverts back to the seller, he never authorized you to use it.
What's happened if you prove that the seller knew that they were the
stock? So again,
still have the same thing because he sold out that this.
You don't find any difference. You can, again, if you use those arguments that he's a grandma and he doesn't want, and he knew you were going to use it anyway, so but you don't find in halacha any differences. You can say svaras, but nothing clear. Right? It could be. That maybe that's the shot, but it's, again, these are all svaras without any clear raya to whether that's true. Okay, that's fine. The language over there, again, this is a mechaber. There's a Rambam, the Ritva, that says he can't use it. The only remez to this point that an oinus might be different comes from the Bishlei Tshuva quotes, and I think it's an Orchas HaMishpat. There's a very big gap. There's no discussion about this. So this is a chiddush that by an oinus this doesn't apply. Now you want to go back and say that there's this new gather of reasonably prudent person, perhaps, but it's, again, it's a svara without much of a makar.
The house and labor. Can the kaina? Is there any claim of groma now? But let's just say he says, okay, it's a mekatayis. I don't want the shoddy construction. Now he finds himself after investing 9-10 months into hoping he's going to move it out of the market, went up by $100,000. Can he claim, have any claim against the maker for collateral damage? Now I can't afford a house.
In Beis Din, it will not be actionable. It will not be a garmi. Do you want to know, is this builder is builder acting appropriately? The answer is no. And if he knew about the issues, it may even be it's probably a groma. But you're not going to have any claim in Beis Din. So in a case of a house, another way to get the seller besides for this cheshbon is that at least in New Jersey, when you buy a house, you also get a homeowner's warranty, which means whenever you buy a house, besides buying the physical house, the builder also obligates himself to make repairs within a certain time frame. So that itself, you would be able to get him on that as well. I just didn't discuss that because that wasn't this year. To the extent that it's something that let's go back to the case. If there is a hischayavus to build it in this way, then you're right. You'll be able to get him for the hischayavus. But let's deal with a simpler case where, forget about hischayavus, he just bought the house. He closed on a house. A few months later, they noticed the defect. It wasn't done as hischayavus, it was done. Okay.